Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. The theme for the fourth annual Cheyenne River Research Symposium is data sovereignty. The conference focuses on developing strong partnerships for tribal groups, the benefit to tribes and individuals for data and research, and more. We're joined now by Joseph Irichetta. He's senior scientist at Missouri Breaks Industries Research Institute. Joe, welcome back to the program. Thanks for being here.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Also with us, Marie Gross. She's public health nurse and research coordinator at Missouri Breaks. Marie, thanks for being here as well.
Yeah, thanks for having me as well.
Also, Justine Kogel. She is manager of the KIA website. We'll get into more of what that is in just a moment. But first, Justine, thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Joseph, let's start with you and tell me a little bit. This is the fourth annual Cheyenne River Research Symposium, and it's evolved over the past 4 years. Tell us how.
Yeah, so we're pretty proud of it. It's been going slowly better every year. It started out with some impetus and money from Sanford Research in Sioux Falls, partly to create research review boards for the different tribal communities to do kind of quicker and more effective research. And part of that was kind of de-blackboxing or demystifying research for Native communities, building trust and understanding about what research and data can do and how you have good partnerships. And so we've been doing this for 4 years, and we've been having our major focus on trying to create the data understanding of all the different ways that data is collected. So some of that is private, like this recent dust up with Facebook,
right.
And some of it's done through public tax dollars. And we want to make sure that the community understands the difference between those two.
Right. And Justine, tell me a little bit about is it KIA Foundation? Maybe I'm pronouncing that wrong.
It's pronounced two different ways. KIA is one way to pronounce it. In the Lakota language, it's pronounced KIA.
KIA, all right.
And what we are a nonprofit-based working group that is based on the Cheyenne River Reservation. We work to provide a healthy lifestyle for individuals and families to increase knowledge, capacity building, and hands-on training experiences. And really what we are trying to do is to help each and every person better themselves and better their lives. So we've worked a lot in the arts and humanities area.
Mm.
And what brought us together with the Missouri Breaks Research Symposium that's happening is we are partnering with them to bring a social science side to their research. There is a ton of different research that happens in Indian country, and a lot of that research is geared towards social science, which is where our foundation has its heart. So through the data and research that's being collected through these different organizations that are coming together at the symposium, we are able to find out how to best help the people in our Native communities to strengthen their lives.
I see. And Justine, for people who don't know, explain the limit or the parameters of the social science.
The social sciences really look at kind of what we're more emotionally attached to. It's not so much, we hear a lot about the medical side of science, the health-related things. The social science thing is more along the lines of who we are, what we care about, and what can we do to help each other.
Hmm. And Marie, let's bring you into the conversation as research coordinator at Missouri Breaks. As you look at this research symposium coming up, what are some of the things that you're looking forward to?
Yeah, we're looking forward to some great speakers and discussion to happen at the symposium. We have some people coming in that are going to be talking about data sovereignty and its importance to our tribal communities. We're always looking at different ways that we can increase our translational efforts of research to help our communities understand it better and to utilize the data that we produce in bigger and better ways. And also to get that feedback back from all of the tribal communities that we work within to see what are their needs, what are their health focuses, and how can we help to bring professional investigators that have those resources back here to do the work that they want to see done.
Marie, tell me what data sovereignty is in this context. That's a phrase that sort of makes an intuitive sense, but I've not heard it before.
Okay, so data sovereignty is when we're working within the context of tribal communities, the data that is done within those communities belongs to the tribe. So a lot of times we are using federal funding to support different research grants and research funding, and there are rules within federal legislation that requires data sharing of the research that they fund. Well, when you're dealing with a tribal nation, they are sovereign from the federal, and so they retain the rights to their information and aren't held to the same standard of data sharing. So data sovereignty speaks to the fact that tribal nations have this information and it belongs to them, and how to best utilize that data to make it reach its full impact for our communities.
So, Joseph Irichette, in the context of, you know, data sovereignty, we also need to talk about partnerships and sort of intentional and chosen partnerships. Talk a little bit about that, if you will, as far as what and who makes a good partnership for tribal groups.
So, since about 2006, and the whole problem with the HDDP, the Human Genome Diversity Project, with Scavalli Forza and National Geographic, lots of indigenous academics and indigenous lawyers and tribal groups have been creating special guidelines for community-based participatory research that go over and above how you would deal with vulnerable communities. So vulnerable communities are children, women, or pregnant women, different peoples of color. And with tribal communities, there has to be, as Marie referenced, there has to be extra stuff. And some of those things are a commitment to a long-term partnership, because the money usually runs on 3 to 5 year grant cycles, and tribes expect more of a long-term relationship to build that trust and have an avenue towards capacity or pipelines to universities for our students. The other aspect or added component is advocacy, because of the level or lack of expertise within tribal communities. Often they're not able to speak to these issues in a professional sense when they're talking to the funding agencies at the NIH. And so we're hoping that our research partners will either be our coaches to have those conversations or speak on our behalf, depending on the tribal community. And then the third one is trying to, at every possible branch, create intermediate and immediate benefit, because a lot of the research projects have this kind of long-distance, 50-year vision of how this might help everybody, not just the tribe. And so a lot of tribal communities are asking for something a little bit quicker. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times that comes in the implementation or the public health intervention of that same data, because the way that NIH funds things or the federal government funds thing is in these silos. The NIH does health, National Science Foundation does education, Environmental Health Institute does environmental things, and since the tribes need all of those things and we need help coordinating those things, we hope that our research partners will help us with those.
Joe, do you think it's possible to, increase or decrease the amount of time before people who participate in research can see some sort of a tangible benefit? Is that contrary to the very nature of research, or are there different ways that can be applied?
No, because right now we work with epidemiologists who are very closely tied to the public health field, and we also work with geneticists that are a little bit more distant from those two groups, and we're trying to get those people to interact with each other to help us come up with kind of quick and real-time solutions here on the ground. The other realm that's been talked about a lot in genomics is pharmacogenomics, of trying to make sure that the drug formularies in hospitals within indigenous communities are genetically appropriate for those communities. And so that's kind of a contentious field right now, and only the Mayo Clinic has instituted an actual genetic test based on a drug called warfarin. But there are other drugs out there that might not be, at least in terms of the dosage, appropriate for indigenous communities.
Marie, you mentioned, and if you're just tuning in, you're listening to In the Moment on SDPB Radio. We're talking about the 4th Annual Cheyenne River Symposium, which is April 25th and 26th. And Marie, you mentioned keynote speakers. Give us some highlights there, please.
Yeah, so we have Desi Rodriguez-Lone Bear, who will be joining us from the University of Arizona and the University of Waikato, New Zealand, to talk with us about data sovereignty. And she is a member of the Northern Cheyenne Reservation. And then we also have Dr. Kim Tallbear from the University of Alberta, Canada, and Assistant Wapitin Oyate member, who will be visiting with us about decolonizing science and technology. Mm-hmm. In addition to that, we have researchers coming from Columbia University. Benjamin Bostick will be there to visit with us about environmental quality. We'll have Jennifer Lee Pukton from Stanford University and Matt Anderson from Ohio University to visit with us about big data and genomic science and indigenous genomics. We'll have Anna Nigra from Columbia University visiting with us about mercury exposure in American Indian communities. And finally, we'll have Esther Erdai from the University of New Mexico visiting with us about different types of heavy metal and immune responses that we're having and studies in the Cheyenne River Reservation right now.
And Justine, KF Foundation, and in your participation in the conference, what are you hoping for?
Well, we are hoping for a wonderful turnout from the community as well as other area reservations. We are hoping that we can bring everybody together to really capture the discussion on data sovereignty within the tribal communities and how we can be proactive in that data collection, as well as disseminating it and translating that data into resources for our communities that are specific to the people living there and their needs. You know, Joe captured a great issue there with the warfarin and what's going on with that. And there are different needs depending on the community. And the only way that we can get to the bottom of that is through the research and then putting it into action. And that's kind of where we're coming in with that strategic resource and what we're working on. Hmm.
Joe, final thoughts about how people can be involved, location and, you know, registration information. We'll close with that.
So it's Thursday. It's from 9:30 till 3:30. And it's at the Cheyenne River Upper Elementary Professional Development Center in Eagle Butte. And it would be great if we had as many intelligent interlocutors that we could have on community involvement and community implementation of research.
Joe Arischetta, Justine Kugel, and Marie Gross, thank you so much for being here with us today. We appreciate your time. Come back again.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.